Welcome to another episode of Blind Duet. My name is Tom Mayer, and with me as always is... no one. Ben is not with me right now because he's busy, and he's busy because... he just graduated from his master's program. Congratulations, Ben. We are all very proud of you. Let's talk about this episode for a second. When I first approached the two musicians we're featuring this episode about participating in Blind Duet, I didn't immediately think to partner them up, and it came to me suddenly one night when I was falling asleep, and I got so excited that I rolled out of bed and wrote myself a note to email them in the morning. I'm so happy they got to connect. This is a really fun episode for me to listen to. So let's hop into the first interview and meet Cassie Watson-Francillon and Adam Malouf.
I'm Cassie Watson-Francillon, and I am a harpist. I live in New Orleans. I was originally born in Brooklyn, New York. Moved to New Orleans about 10 years ago, and I play a wide range, like just a wide array of music. I've moved into more funk and experimental tones on harp, and I started out playing Celtic harp, so that's one of the, you know, the smaller ones, and they're portable, beautiful, and then later on I decided to, you know, get a bigger car and a bigger harp. I really like to collaborate. It can be bounce, it can be electronic and folk accompanying vocalists around town. There's a lot going on, like in my head. It's just, I have these visions and I reach out when the music community in New Orleans is so rich and beautiful and everyone is really receptive to tapping into each other's frequencies. So, for example, a couple of years ago, I had like a big vision that we would all get together and play and just do like a rearrangement of Bjork music. And we did that at the Opera House here. And let's see, I was drawn to it for really deep mental health issues and pursued a bunch of different teachers, you know, just worked furiously at this instrument. I wasn't allowed to play music when I was younger. You know, when I was younger, my family was just like, you know, go to school, be a doctor, lawyer, teacher, be something else. Like, music does not have a place. Music is something you hear on the radio. And I never found that to be true. It's music, it's something that's healing, and it tells stories, you know, communicates journeys. And it's a place for dream and hope.
Well, Cassie, it's great to meet you. My name is Adam Malouf. I live in Greenville, South Carolina, so actually not too far from you. I've never been to New Orleans, but it's maybe like an 8-hour drive or something like that. But I lived in Brooklyn for the last 10 years and recently relocated back to South Carolina with my wife, and we had a baby boy. Yeah, you know, the space is always a challenge for musicians, especially drummers, especially someone like me. I play a bunch of instruments. I have like 98 instruments in my studio if I count every little individual item and every tabla and handpan. And I work as a multi-instrumentalist specializing in Eastern musical styles. You know, I love Middle Eastern music. I love Indian music. I've studied these styles of music. Playing a lot of jazz, playing a lot of classical music, I really got into hand percussion and Eastern world styles and followed that for years. I do feel grateful for my time as a musician and all the time that I put in and the things that are coming still from it. But it's like this bittersweet, you know what I mean? I feel like there's this for all musicians of all different types. You know, say you're like an artist who you have this day job that pays your career, but you really want to be playing music more and devote more time to music. There's that bittersweet. Say you're a musician, you're playing all the time, but it's like, then you're doing great and things are building. Pandemic comes and wipes out your work for 2 years. It's like, oh man, like all of a sudden, like something stable with benefits where you're in a totally different position. People that didn't even notice the pandemic You know, they're like, oh, my life didn't change at all. Still got a paycheck, still either went to work or just like life kind of continued as usual for me and for so many artists that I know. It was just kind of like this huge wave came and totally rocked our worlds, you know, like the people that were in my community that I worked with. And, you know, just now things are starting to come back. Yeah, you know, like this is another one of those things that didn't really, people weren't comfortable with this prior. If they were going to do a recording session, you got to find someone in New Orleans or you got to find someone in New York or whatever. And now it's like, you don't have to, if you have the right setup, and there's a way that I think we can collaborate in a way that is like still going to be emotionally stimulating and, you know, musically enjoyable for both of us, not like frustrating.
Oh, definitely. And I couldn't agree with you more that over, you know, after the pandemic, because it took me a little bit, it took me maybe, I can't say when, like maybe a third or 20% of the way of the pandemic to actually accept that that was going to be the new normal and, you know, technology and the interfaces, like this would be the new way to connect for the next 2 years and to collaborate. And some of the most like emotionally and musically transformative experiences I had, like strangely, were over these interfaces.
Adam, just to jump in here, you mentioned handpan, and that is an instrument that I'm thinking not all of our listeners are familiar with. I'm wondering if you'd be willing to share a few more details about
let me grab one. So I love this instrument for the quality of the sound. That's really why when I knew Tom, we were playing marimba. It was all marimba all the time, like marimba solos, learning like this four mallet. I got my marimba behind me here covered up, you can see. But this instrument really is, it kind of has this sonic element, because what you're hearing is the harmonic spectrum with each tone. You hear each tone, you hear the fundamental, the octave above it, and then the fifth above that. When you're striking just the open tone, you're hearing all three resonating together. And that's kind of what contributes to the beautiful sound of the handpan.
Cassie, I also had a quick question for you about playing harp. And I wouldn't consider harp an uncommon instrument. I think it certainly is less common than other string instruments, especially in New Orleans jazz. But what has playing harp taught you about defying expectations?
Good deal about the importance of listening, if that makes sense. And holding back, like just being a bit more intentional about where to put so much. Well, you know, let's see, I didn't tune up, but there's a tendency to kind of put too much in, you know, in a certain spot. So it's almost as if you have the ability to go food shopping with an unlimited card. Like, do you buy a bunch too much food, you know? As a soloist, whenever I do solo work, there's that tendency to comp myself. I'm holding the computer, but like to sit there and I'm playing with one hand, but it'd be good to actually tune up, but
it sounds amazing.
There is something about the harp. You just hear it and it's like it's an emotional response to that instrument at least for me, I feel like most people too, it's something about it. It's a very emotional, very expressive instrument.
It's taught me to lean into being more expressive and trying to accomplish, you know, like fill in everything. And so where I'm hearing the handpan, you know, the handpan has that resonance and it's like beautiful and glossy and thick. Like that's what it's like a piece of cheese. And sorry, I don't know why I thought of cheese, but like a thick layer of cheese. and I guess I think about things like, where is my place in this? It's not, I don't approach each situation the same. You know, when I'm hearing the handpan right now, it's just like thick layer of cheese and I just want to be the pepper.
Adam, you touched on it, Cassie, you touched on it as well about the scene of where you are. And you guys both spent some time in New York. I also spent some time in New York at one point and experienced that music scene. And I was just going to ask you guys just like about the importance of your music scene.
For me personally, I've been, you know, I'm on the online level. I'm on the handpan community level. I'm on the musical collaborative Brooklyn scene level, and trying to build a community where I moved also around what I do. Encouraging people that have shown interest to come to classes, or finding musicians that can play, trying to build relationships with them.
Creative sustainability is like a big movement happening here, other than just creating and not knowing what's going to happen with that, because that's really, you know, the means of equity for people of color who are in New Orleans, like parading in the streets and everything, but then need dental care. How do we bridge those gaps? And it's an active process, and it's not like beyond me. Thank you for this match. It's going to be really cool.
Great love, guys.
Alrighty.
Awesome. Talk soon. Take care,
bye,
y'all.
Guys. Thank you.
Harp and handpan is a really fun sonic combination. I can't wait to hear what Cassie and Adam created together. Let's catch up with them after they had 2 weeks of songwriting and recording. I can't wait to talk about this track. Ben and I have been listening to it nonstop just to like get things rolling. Cassie, you started sending him some ideas. What went into the idea that you sent him that became this track?
Yeah, my approach was basically like time oriented. You know, I thought let's exchange a bunch of different ideas, and then it really just occurred to me, you know, the tonality and the reverb on the hanpan. That exists. So why not send an idea that contained a pinch less, you know, to give more room to Adam to collaborate with. Like Adam just nailed it. Just put so much in there. It's pretty rich, right? Like when you hear, I was blown away when I heard the response. And that was really the approach, just call and response, you know? So thank you, Adam.
Oh, thank you. Yeah, I had a really, really enjoyed sitting and working on this recording project. Yeah, I think initially we tried to link up, but our schedules just wouldn't allow us to link up. So Cassie ended up just recording a couple ideas of her own, you know, without, you know, we didn't really have any preconceived ideas. So she just came up with the form and the general sound of that and shot a couple ideas to me, and I think I just went with the initial one that you sent me. It was a little more rhythmic. It was interesting on my pan, you know, it's to when you play another artist's music, all of a sudden you're finding new combinations of notes that I'm normally not composing in F sharp minor, like natural minor. I think that's what it was, you know.
Cassie, what you sent Adam, the first 30 seconds, it establishes this very classic harp sound that it's like almost kind of stereotypical what people hear in their brain of like this light area in the upper register of the instrument. And then about 30 seconds in, you introduce this much darker tone that is really anchored by this one bass note. That like stays with us through the whole part. And in your words, like what is the purpose of that lower register and specifically that bass part?
I think that's reflective of my style of playing, you know, especially like live recordings or even session work. It's just like, I ask for the sound profile to not be, you know, confined into this like Tinkerbell in a tin can kind of like stay too far up there. I really like the dramatic element of it and feeling anchored. And it was great to see Adam just like shift into that role of creating the air when I'm the earth, like this fiery earth thing, you know, like in terms of elements. So in one sense, like I hoped it's not too frequent and monotonous, but in another sense, like communicating to Adam, like, hey, there is space, communicating without leaving instructions. Like, the cue was there, and it just turned out so beautiful, like that contrast and exchange. I can't say if that note's like a person, but in the way of a conversation, it could be, you know, it could be an ancestor. It could be like, a proverb, something being expressed in there that I won't put words to, but but there's a whole dialogue happening. Yeah. And that's really just like a specific to my style of playing. I mean, even at my gig just now, I'm used to doing solo work, I'm used to doing a lot of like bass comping in my left hand. And it's a lot of fun. A lot of folks don't normally expect that from harp. They expect the inverse, to stay up in that, do that the whole time. But I don't know. I like the drama. And it worked out. This pairing was just like beyond words. Like I didn't expect what came out. I did not expect that at all. That, like, Adam really got it. What style of playing? It was just phenomenal to be responded to in that way, to be seen and responded to.
Adam, like, compositionally, you both mentioned Cassie provided a lot of structure and a lot of melodic guidance. And then she also provided a lot of space for you to like weave more melody into this track. And when you are approaching a recording project that way, where like you have to pick up the ball and run with it, what is your thought process there of how you're going to infuse your DNA into this track when there's, you know, the bones are already there?
I think that I just try and immediately go to the space of if we were in the same room together creating this live, as if, like, if I am just listening, why is she not in the room with me right in that moment? Like, why should my reaction not be the same type of why should my musical reaction not be the same as if we were literally in the same room? If I have that really authentic listen. So that means like not doing too much pre-listening, not too much pre-composing of what you're going to do, but more like really being like in the moment, listening to the impulses that when she's letting off the impulses, responding in the moment to those. You know, three takes and done kind of thing. Like it was the third take. It's most always is for me in my process. Totally. I just only listen to her and her pulse.
Listeners, I know if we didn't say it, I think it would be hard to tell that you guys didn't play this together. It very much feels like you were saying you were in the same room, even playing this together. And it was just either some sort of improvised piece together, or even there's moments where you guys are really synced up. So it's almost like you're playing some sort of improvised piece with tent poles where you know you're going to get to this one section here and there. And I really think that that's definitely a special achievement, you know, in this virtual collaboration.
Something that Ben said right before you both logged on, he was like, in a lot of ways, this feels like the most duet, blind duet. I would love to know your reactions to that.
It's all just concept, yeah. You know, at that point,
the fact that just two of you,
you know, like what, just imagining us sitting in the room playing together and that being kind of the overall concept of the result, because we could do overdubs and we can make a whole symphony sound between the two of us probably, but that would take forever.
Yeah. And maybe wouldn't be quite as special of a recording.
Before I forget, it is actually important to us that you come up with a name, a title for your track. We use it for our episode naming conventions. And it also, you know, it just adds a little bit of closure to the whole process.
Oh, I happen to be awful at naming tracks. How are you, Cassie? Are you pretty good at coming up with names?
Yeah, I was in a pun competition. I can do this. I think, what about, so I thought initially the name came for me was Time, because one, we didn't have it. And two, it's just like, you know, it takes what it takes. And that's what the reality was. So Time, and there's like a timelessness feel, but very connected feel of the music too. You know, like I personally wanted it to go on forever and ever.
Hi, Maggie.
But then there's a pun, or there's a riddle, right? And it's like, the answer to the riddle is time.
I like the riddle is time. Time is the riddle.
Time.
Yeah.
Time is the
That's
riddle.
That's a cool
okay,
name.
I like that.
Time is the riddle. I'm with Time is the riddle. I like
time
that.
Time is the riddle.
Also very timely as the newest Batman. They had the Riddler as the main villain in it. Have you guys not seen that yet?
Not that one. Go. I just saw the Joker finally.
No, you gotta see the new Batman. It's really good. Before we go, we just want to know, where can people hear more of your stuff, Adam?
I'm on Bandcamp is a great place for supporting artists. Spotify is a great place for listening, streaming music. You know, all the streaming services. I've got music up there. I've got like 5 albums up there, and always, you know, last year haven't uploaded too much new music, but it's a life process. You know, there's no rush.
What about you, Cassie? Where can we hear more from you?
Bandcamp, under Cassie Watson Francione, and also Spotify. More new music coming this summer. And if you're in New Orleans, come say hi.
Thank you so much. It's been awesome just being able to reconnect with you, Adam. Hope to see you in person one of these days real soon.
Yes, Tom, for sure. And thank you, Ben. And thank you so much,
thank
Cassie.
You, it's great meeting you.
All right,
thank
guys.
You,
have a good night.
Thank you to everyone listening, and a huge thanks to Cassie and Adam for Time is the Riddle. If you like what you heard on this episode, go check out some more of their music. I highly recommend the album E.G. Rhapsodic by Shakespeare and the Blues, a project that Cassie is a part of, and the beautiful single Saturn Return by Adam. All right, let's listen to Time is the Riddle by Cassie Watson Francione and Adam Maloof. Thank you.
Follow Blind Duet on Instagram and Twitter at Blind Duet Pod. If you'd like to be a guest on our show, please send a brief bio along with links to your work to blindduetpod@gmail.com. We look forward to hearing from you. Blind Duet is brought to you in part by the New Orleans Tourism and Culture Fund. We would also like to thank the Music and Culture Coalition of New Orleans for their support.